Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. We're reacting, baby, to that Texans beatdown of the Ravens yesterday. Exercising some demons, making up for potentially your worst Christmas ever last year and what the Ravens did to the Texans at the time. Texans with back-to-back victories, beating the Ravens yesterday 44-10. Luke Morrow in for Reggie alongside John Lopez, Figgy Fig on the steel wheels, and you as well. What do you think about this Texans team now? Have you come all the way back around after these last 2 weeks that you feel as good about the Texans now as maybe you did during the offseason, before the first 3 weeks of this year? You can let us know on the text line 713-572-4610. However you feel about the Texans overall today, it's hard to feel anything but really good about what you saw yesterday, and we've been talking about the victory, of course, but it's hard to even nitpick for me and say, like, oh, yeah, you know what, but this area could still be improved. It seemed to be a good all-around, clean blowout victory yesterday.
You know, I say it all the time. You've heard me say it a million times, Figgy. You can't help how you feel. You know, like, if you sit down and watch a game and there's one team that you're really not that crazy about, but all of a sudden you start pulling for that team, it's like you can't help it. It's just how you feel. And that's kind of where I am with the Texans right now. Yeah, I can't forget those first three games, you know, and just how bad they were. And this offensive line is still not the most talented in the league. And there are things that, you know, you kind of wonder about just how perfect they have to be with their play calling and their game planning. And you can't help but think, you know, when it came down to, you know, the big plays in games against the Rams and the Bucks, you know, that it just wasn't quite. And then you lose to the Jags. I get all that, but I can't help right now feeling like you can kind of erase that moving forward. And you can't erase it on the standings, but, you know, and it's going to affect this team, especially as a division, as we've been talking about, with 4-1 Jaguars, maybe 4-1 Colts and maybe 4-1 Jaguars after tonight, depending on what they do against the Chiefs. I get all that. But right now, I feel like this team has something is really clicking with this team. It the competition was not that good. We get it, but the competition was not that good for several teams. You know, yesterday even that ended up losing. You know,
it's a good point. I mean, you know, we talked about the Cardinals earlier. They found a way to cough up a game against a terrible team in terrible fashion.
Yeah.
You can point to maybe even the Bills was a disappointing loss. You know, how did the Giants lose to the Saints? And that's kind of what I said earlier, is not only winning, but the way they won. Like, they took care of business against the Titans, and sure, it may have taken till the second half, but then they pulled away and won by almost 30 and shut them out. And then yesterday, you know, you beat the Ravens on the road by 34, and we could excuse it because it's the Ravens, but you know what? It's the second largest victory in Texans history, and it's the most points scored in a road game in Texans history. So it's not like this is something they always do against bad teams, or that the Ravens are the worst team they've ever played. They deserve a lot of credit for how well they played all around yesterday, offense, defense. And it's one of those things that you get that positive momentum moving forward and you feel really good about yourself. In fact, there was a story the other day, might have come out over the weekend, but just about, or actually, yeah, it was yesterday after the game. They were talking to different players in the locker room and they were all saying CJ was just different this week. When we came in for Wednesday practice, he was locked in and he was, you know, we just felt good. And I'm sure that's after what you do against the Titans and you finish with that fourth quarter and you know, the end of the third quarter and you get some positive momentum offensively, it helps practice feel a little bit better during the week. Then you go and do this to the Ravens.
Yeah.
You know, now you come into the building with this offense, you're into those meetings, and you start feeling really good about the new offensive coordinator and the things you're trying to do here on offense.
Well, how come you can use the old line about they get paid too as an excuse, but not as a compliment.
Yeah, right.
Because everybody's like, you know, you lose a tough game, whatever it may be. Well, those guys get paid too. I think you can use it in this game. You know, you went in to Baltimore where you hadn't won ever as an organization, and those guys get paid too, and you put a beat down on them. Not only did you put a beat down on them, but your quarterback looked like the quarterback. Where are all those guys right now? Where are all the people that are saying, you know, C.J. Stroud ain't it? Your quarterback looked like the guy that we saw 2 years ago. It's the best game that he's played in two seasons. Hey, the Ravens get paid too. I get they were injured, but they get paid too. You know, if you're going to use that as an excuse, you should use it to compliment this team, because not only did they come out the very first drive and use seven different players, skill position players in that drive on the way to scoring a touchdown, but you scored on every offensive possession until Davis Mills got in the game. Mm-hmm. You know, every single possession that you had, you scored. And those guys get paid too. I think you should use it as a compliment to how the Texans played.
Here was C.J. Stroud after the game talking about the offensive line, because I do think it all starts when you give Stroud time, like any other good quarterback, right? They can pick any team apart. C.J. was able to do that yesterday, and here was Stroud after the game yesterday talking about his offensive line.
Yeah, you know, our O-linemen did a great job, and that's where it starts. You know, I think I'm one of the best, you know, when I get the time and I can, like, deal it out. And our O-line did amazing this game, and when that happens, you know, Kales is calling a great game, and our receivers running really good routes. We've been getting better at practice every week, and I think that's where you know, you see the growth. But, yeah, it really starts with him.
The other thing about this that is interesting is C.J. Stroud specific. Whether this is a personal flaw that he has or however you want to describe it, things can mushroom and blossom with him, you know, in a bad way, but also in a very good way. When he started rolling as a rookie, there was no stopping him. When things started kind of spiraling out of control and he lost his confidence, we could see it. We could see it in his demeanor. You know, his press conferences, he just seemed morose is the word that has been used. Well, now he's got a little bit of a roll.
Yeah.
You know, so we're an off week, a bye week on the way to Seattle and a Monday night game under the lights. Maybe that's starting to happen. You know, he's starting to get that confidence back.
Yeah. Winning solves everything.
Mm-hmm.
On the text line, somebody did point out another good example. The 49ers won on a short week on the road with a lot of injuries in their backup quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a good point. And I know you guys were using that Niners as an example Friday of let's not overlook this Ravens team. So, yeah, you never know what could happen in the NFL. The Rams, that was a bad loss to the Niners. That could have been the Texans yesterday. Instead, they win, not only win on the road, but win by 34. 832 says, glad the Texans won yesterday, but does anyone think that offensive line can legitimately compete in the playoffs against the best defenses in the AFC?
We know the offensive line is the talent is not quite what we thought it would be, and maybe not up to snuff. What was his how fast did CJ get rid of the ball yesterday on average?
2.4 seconds.
With that, with the run game. Now, the margins are small, but we've talked about that a lot, about how they have to be just next to perfect on these things. But I'm not going to sit here and start ordering Super Bowl tickets. But, you know, I think they've proved enough. They've proved enough in the last five quarters that this offensive line can get it done. DeMeco, actually, you were talking about, you know, some of the takeaways from what we just heard from DeMeco live here on Sports Radio 610. You know, that jumbo package, Blake Fisher is not a good starting tackle. He's a hell of a good tight end blocking, you know, blocking tight end, because they've been using that a lot. And I think that's what really sprung, you know, a lot of these big runs. So that's one of the big takeaways, too. They've adapted, as they're shorthanded at the tight end position, guys like Blake Fisher in there. You know, British Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, British Brooks as the fullback. So some of the things they're doing, the concepts, the way that they've developed this offense is starting to take hold.
It is. And those are a couple of guys that I wanted to highlight and will about 30 minutes from now when we talk about who hooped yesterday for the Texans, which, I mean, you can make a case just about everybody did in this win yesterday. Anything else from DeMeco? We played the press conference live, as you mentioned, about an hour ago. Anything else from the head coach here the next day after that great win yesterday that stood out for you from his comments?
Yeah, I think we know this, and I think they know this. It's time to get some of these young guys legit touches. Woody Marks, there were, you know, not to nitpick, and I've said we're not going to nitpick, but there were a couple of drives that started with Nick Chubb in the backfield that I just flat out wished it was Woody Marks.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's time to get some of these young guys, you know, the majority of touchdowns. Now, Chubb had a great, you know, a touchdown run that looked very reminiscent of the one that they let him score
mm-hmm.
on, you know, before. But Jalen Noel, for sure, you know, needs to get more touches. We've talked about it. I think that's going to start happening. Jaden Higgins. And I think D'Amico. I think D'Amico is realizing that those are his best places. Get the ball, you know, as he's often said, get the ball into those playmakers.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's something, and I mentioned it earlier, you know, when you point to the excuses for the Ravens, and they had all these injuries, and they're playing all these mm-hmm. rookies, just like you were saying with the offensive line, where we can use it as a negative and a positive. Mm-hmm. Sure, you could say the Ravens are struggling because they're counting on a lot of rookies, but then in the same breath, credit the Texans for playing as well as they did while getting a lot from their rookies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like they're a lottery pick either, the rookie class of the Texans that you're talking about. Those are, you know, second, third, and fourth round guys, so... that was good to see yesterday, and as the season progresses, you hope that they can play an even larger role and have a bigger, an even bigger impact. You mentioned Woody Marks. I'm sure you guys have been talking about this throughout the season, but plenty of texts came in during the D'Amico Ryans press conference. Look, Joe Mixon, he did tweet about the Texans or post on Instagram about the Texans' win yesterday. A lot of people think that they're at odds with one another. At least there was a positive acknowledgement yesterday. Do you think we see Mixon at any point this year?
I still don't, but I think it's just an injury, as simple as an injury. I think mm-hmm. the injury is probably more complex, a little deeper than we all you know, thought. I mean, you can speculate on what that might be, but I just think the way they're handling it, it just seems like it's going to be an injury that we won't see him this year. But you know, the you know, we talk about margins after Nick Chubb and Woody Marks. I mean, Damian Pierce, I don't know, man. They put him in garbage time, and I don't know what's behind those guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Christian Harris was inactive yesterday for the first time. D'Amico was asked about that, kind of brushed it off, saying it was matchup-based. Just a few other things, talking about how they came out healthy. I thought that's another positive or another benefit of that mm-hmm. blowout win yesterday, where mm-hmm. you had Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson played like less than 25 snaps each because mm-hmm. you were already up 30. Like you could just sit them. So not only do you have the bye week now, but a lot of your guys played half a game yesterday. They're healthy. They get a little extra time off. So I know the bye week's a little
Titus
earlier.
Howard took some time off, mm-hmm. some plays off once they had it was
right.
It was in hand. And those are the guys that had like little, as they like to say, bumps and bruises.
Yeah.
Will Anderson missed a day of practice last week. And they, so Will Anderson got to take some time off. Titus Howard, no, that's good, especially with the bye week coming
up. Yeah, right. And then you get the Monday Night Football, so they get a nice break here, essentially in between competitive matchups for sure. Big win for the Texans yesterday over the Ravens. A fun win to watch them take out some of the past years of frustration on Baltimore in their building. Text us 713-572-4610. How does it make you feel about this Texan squad now with the 2-3 record after that big win yesterday? When we come back, it's time for some confessions. We'll do it next on In the Loop.
Yeah.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Y'all saw the Jalen Noel celebration, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? What'd you think about that before I give you my confession? About, you know, he did, for those who don't know, like, what's it called, the squirrel?
Yeah, I guess so. That was
I call
actually,
it the Ray Lewis.
The Ray Lewis, but somebody said the squirrel dance, which Ray Lewis was just, I mean, he was the king of that. I mean, it just got the crowd going so much in Baltimore and all that. So Jalen Noel scores his first ever touchdown, and then this happened.
This is his first career NFL touchdown, JJ.
Yeah, and he does something in Baltimore that for many years would never have been allowed by an opposing player. And that just kind of speaks to it. And then there's a little bit of a tussle as he goes over to grab his first ever touchdown ball. Jaire Alexander takes some issue with that and tries to steal it back.
So what do y'all think of it before I of that whole thing before I give my confession?
I love the dance because screw the Ravens. And also Ray Lewis. I was never a Ray Lewis guy, mm-hmm. in part because of that whole off the field thing 20 years ago. So fine with me. Do his silly little dance too. Also, I think it was more of a tribute than a mocking, but regardless. And then I think Jaire Alexander, who I've never been fond of, I think it's silly to try to, you know, rip the football away from mm-hmm. a rookie on his first touchdown.
Yeah, I was fine with the celebration, too. I thought it was perfect, being in Baltimore yeah. and all that stuff. Yeah. And then also, I kind of like the pettiness of Jaire Alexander. Just like, all right, screw it. Nah, you ain't about to get this ball.
Not
back.
Here.
Nah, man. Like, nah, give me this.
You ain't first about- ever touchdown.
Yeah, but I think it was just so, they was getting their ass whooped.
Yeah.
So at that point, I'm like, nah, you ain't about to do that. And then try to get the ball back for yeah. the ball boy. Like, I like the pettiness of that. And by the way, I just seen Jalen Noe tweet that he yeah. got the ball back.
He did get the ball back. So yeah. So here's my confession. This is what sets someone off about a celebration. Like, I get it, you know, a revered, legendary Ray Lewis, not in our house. You heard J.J. Watt, who did a great job, by the way, as analyst in that game.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen dudes moon the crowd. We've seen dudes, you know, put a cell phone in the pads. We've yeah. seen dudes choreographed, you know, tush pushes and all this other. And this is the one that's not allowed? Like, what are – it's most of the time when a opposing team has a celebration, the other squad just turns their back and just, like, whatever, you know, walk away. But this is what sets you off? The rate. I thought it was cool.
Yeah, no, I thought it was cool. Yeah. I mean, I like the pettiness and, mm-hmm. like, nah, you ain't getting this ball back. But you know the best way to stop them from doing that celebration?
That's right.
Just stop them from scoring.
Yeah, that's
right. Y'all couldn't do it.
I mean, I thought it made the Ravens look even worse.
Yeah.
Like did. More lost.
Yeah.
You know?
By the way, it's also just the second game Jaire's ever actually played for the Ravens. So, like, are you the person that should be
that's right.
trying to defend, like, the Ravens brand or
the
whatever?
History.
I forgot yeah. he was on the damn team.
Honestly, me too.
Yeah. I forgot he was on the team.
And again, I think we oftentimes confuse, like, the honoring with the mocking.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't Terrell Owens at the Star, you know, in Dallas.
We've had that one, yeah.
Yeah, like yeah. this. I think this was supposed to be more in tribute than kind of dancing on the Ravens' grave yeah. yesterday. Maybe I'm wrong, but either way, I liked it.
He was a rookie. He's a rookie. He probably was like, hey, if I get the touchdown, I'm doing the Ray Lewis dance.
He practiced it Saturday night.
Yeah.
He just learned it. He didn't even really know about it. Well, I guess he knew about it, but, I mean, didn't really, you know, plan that far. And by the way, D'Amico also said, I'm good with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As
yeah.
am I. Yeah. I liked it. Yeah. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. I stayed up to on Thursday night for the new Taylor Swift album.
Not a baby.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
a baby.
Now, full transparency, because I also went to her movie over the weekend on the
oh,
new
album. Oh, you're that too. Guy.
Oh, well, no. Hold on.
You sound like you got a significant other. Yeah, that's all
what
about
I was gonna
that.
Say. Full transparency. It's because of the significant other. If I'm a single man, I don't think I'm doing either of those two things, but I still did them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it was enjoyable. I would say I wouldn't call myself a Taylor Swift fan, but her song Opalite, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't heard it yet, check it out. It's the third track in this album. It is a jam. I love it. It's been stuck in my head all weekend. So it's actually a great song. And the other thing, too, is my other takeaway is that the song Wood is probably the best thing mm-hmm. about for Travis Kelce's career, like the greatest thing that's ever happened to him. You could go listen to that song as well, but she wrote that about Travis Kelce. It's called Wood, W-O-O-D, not, you know, would do something.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, and there's these conspiracy theories that it's the ninth track on the album. The length of the song,
God.
If you do the math, equals 9 inches if you do this math.
Oh, God.
So it's
Lord
a whole
heaven.
Thing. So I was like, this is the best. Travis Kelce, I mean, I know you won Super Bowls and everything, but you have the biggest pop star, like, singing about you, and
yeah.
her fans are coming up with theories about your manhood. Like, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to Kelce. So congratulations to him.
Well, I will add, I did a complete in-depth review of the life of a showgirl. I actually sent it to Figgy and Reggie and Sean and all that. And I must say, I thought it was an excellent review. My daughter, who is the biggest Swiftie ever, said, "Dude, that's really good." Judy Pendergast, Sean's daughter, said that it was tack on point. So I'm guilty as well because they were all about it. My daughter's all about it. I said, she goes, "Want to know what I thought about it?"
Mm-hmm.
So I listened to the entire thing, most songs twice, did my review.
Yeah. It's not a bad album. I'll say that. Yeah. You know, to listen through it Thursday night, listen through it again in the movie in the theater Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sitting there, you know, hating it. It was like, you know, this is kind of enjoyable.
I didn't hate it.
Yeah. I'll say that.
By the way, she is projected to sell 3 million copies in the first week, which is unheard of.
Yeah, she knows what she's doing.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So I don't know if y'all saw this post from, I think, a couple people posted it, but, it's a very popular Panthers podcast called Meal Mix.
Mm-hmm.
They started doing the podcast in 2019 and they announced that they are shutting down indefinitely due to the team's poor performance.
Mm-hmm.
And they just said they just can't justify the time spent away from their wives and family and children. On Sunday
because the team stinks.
Yes. I gotta confess, man, I think this is kind of sorry, man.
Yeah,
I think this is sorry. You can't just start a podcast and just end it because your team isn't good, man. That's where you build your reputation up a little bit, man. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of Houston, Texas has some bad moments the last couple years.
Mm-hmm.
Or a few years ago, and I felt like them podcasters that just stick it out through the mud and just get through a bad season and all that stuff. I think that's sorry for them to do that, man. The ironic thing about it is mm-hmm. they freaking won on Sunday. So are they going to do the podcast now?
Yeah, they're going to kick it back
yeah,
off.
Yeah, are they going to jump in like, oh, changed our mind?
Yeah.
Nah, man. Look, teams going to have bad seasons. But you got to stick through this, man. You can't sit there.
You stink so bad, we don't even want to talk about you anymore.
Yeah, I feel like, and they have been bad. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But you got to stick through it, man. You can't just bail out.
The other thing is,
in week five,
you know, when a team is winning, you always get, you know, bigger numbers, so to speak, podcast numbers, you know, TV ratings, all that stuff, radio. But when a team is bad, it's the liveliest.
Yeah.
It's the best time to do a podcast. That's why, like, they should be having, you know, a lot of action, a lot of fun, so to speak, doing their podcast. There's got to be something else in play here.
Yeah, I've always said the more interesting story is in the locker room. Like, I mm-hmm. honestly, if the Texans lost yesterday 34-10, we'd have a lot more, mm-hmm. or 44-10, like, it'd be a lot more maybe interesting than talking about how great it was.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the fence with this because I saw this story and I was like, I get it. The Panthers are such a sorry franchise. Why devote this time? But the reason they gave wasn't all. They said, we're still going to watch the games, but we want more time for our family and friends on Sunday. And it's like, well, how long does it take you to do the podcast? If you're still going to sit down and devote your 3 hours to watch the game, then the only difference you're talking about is like maybe an hour
a week, hour and a half, whatever it is.
Yeah, to record a podcast. So that does feel a little weak to me that they're so the Panthers are so bad you don't want to devote an hour a week to continue your podcast. That was
But see, my thing is, if you're going to quit like this, don't even come back.
Yeah.
So if they, let's say they rattle off some more wins, or let's say they have a good season next year, you going to start the podcast up again?
Mm-hmm.
Nah, man. You, to me, this is where the fan me come out of.
Yeah.
Like, don't just jump off the bandwagon, and then when they start being good, hey, we back now.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, man, you stick through it, man. You create that content.
I think it's a cop-out. I think there's something else going on. It just sounds like it, but maybe not. Maybe
I mean,
just
now to be fair, it is some people that just start slipping on their pimping when it comes to content. If the team back, I seen a lot of that during the 2022 season for the Texans. But once stuff start picking up, then they get back on it. But don't sit there announce and say you're not doing the podcast no more. That's kind of whack to me, man.
It might just make me a bad person, and I'm fully aware of that, and could recognize that. But two sideline reporters in college football this week got trucked on the sideline. Like Tori Petrie, I think is what it is, Baylor and Kansas State. I mean, she got hit into the air and it spun her around and then slammed on the ground. And then Holly Rowe.
Yeah.
Holly Rowe.
Oh, Holly?
Holly, you didn't see, you got to search this. Holly Rowe got put on her back to the point where, you know, you can bounce your head on.
Mm-hmm.
The first part is, this is not the funny part, because those could have been really, really dangerous. Yeah. And I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, you need to take them off. No, that they pay for that. They understand it. You know, that's part of what ESPN does.
I think the last thing they want to do is get off the sideline.
Exactly. I'm not going to be that guy, you know, kind
of. Put a net up.
Yeah, clutching your pearls and all that. I don't agree with that. What I am going to confess to, I was kind of channeling Figgy. You know, Figgy, sometimes you see something, you go, oh.
Yeah.
Both of them. I was like, I took no account of their health and safety. I was just like, oh my God, they got trucked. It's a risk of the job, and I feel bad for doing it, but I watched them like over and over and over again, just obviously knowing that they were fine. They both popped up. I got to believe they were both very sore the next day, but I did kind of like, channel that. Oh, let's see that again.
I know it. I think Holly Rowe popped up and then gave like a report on herself, right?
She still had the microphone in her hand.
She didn't fumble.
So she was a pro. Yeah, she handled it well.
Search the Tori Petrie. So with an I, Tori. She got lifted and spun into the air and slammed onto the ground. It was both dangerous looking, but neither got hurt.
There was also a chain crew, I think, in the London game yesterday. They got wiped out. That one was a little more severe because he did leave like on the cart. He was okay. He was talking and everything, but he did leave on the cart to go like get checked out.
Mm-hmm.
But he got wiped out and I think kind of hit his head. And then there's a clip from years ago of Pam Oliver doing a report, and she gets hit by a football.
Yeah.
An errant pass hits her like in the head while she's on the camera. Yeah. And obviously she was okay too, so I guess we can laugh at that one now. But that's one of those that always makes the rounds of these reporter blunders of poor Pam. Getting hit with an errant pass right in the dome. Those are our confessions, as we do each and every day, presented by the Men's Clinic at this time. When we come back, it's time to talk about who hooped yesterday for the Texans in that great win. I mean, we could really say the whole team, but let's highlight a couple specific special performances from yesterday. We'll do it next. It's In the Loop. I'm Luke Morrow in for Reggie today alongside John Lopez and Figgy Fig, and you as well. Appreciate you hanging with us here on this Victory Monday. You can text the show 713-572-4610. Let us know what you thought about that clobbering of the Ravens yesterday and how you feel about this Texans team today compared to just 2 weeks ago, maybe even just a week ago, even after the Titans win. A great victory yesterday in Baltimore. Most points scored in a road game for the Texans in franchise history. And so, of course, every Monday here on In the Loop, the fellas, you guys always do this segment of Who Hooped. And I think we could say really the whole team, but let's take this opportunity, this moment to highlight certain players yesterday that really stood out. And I'll let you go first. Who was a couple of guys that you really took notice of their performance?
Well,
yesterday?
Keep in mind, was it the, I forget which game it was, where we're sitting here looking at each other like, who hooped? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Was it the Jacksonville game? We're just sort of reaching for anyone that did anything where you could go, all right, maybe that'll be something that the team can build on, or they can build on, whatever. So look, there's some obvious ones, and I'm not going to start with, you know, CJ Stroud. I mean, he's a whole discussion in and of himself, and we're going to have that and where he is and all that. I'm going to go with some that certainly could be something that make a big difference, you know, moving forward. And I'm going to start with Woody Marks. Woody Marks, you know, has been one of those guys that we've talked a lot about, not just his ability, his burst. He offers a little something different from Nick Chubb. But yet again, his blocking, is it three games in a row where he's just de-cleated someone or made a crucial block? That run that C.J. Stroud made down the sideline would have gone for maybe 8 or 9 yards, but it wouldn't have gone down to the whatever 3-4 yard line if it wasn't for Woody Marks making that block. So that's a good way to stay on the field. And
to see Dari, you were like, man, let me get out here and block.
Yes.
So I could, that's supposed to be me out there.
And he did. So Woody Marks, to me, he does everything that they ask him to do, and he's gaining confidence. I think that's one where you can put a star by that and say, yeah, it's gonna only get better.
Yeah, I agree with you. And that is somebody that, as you had mentioned earlier, and I know a lot of people were hoping to see that in this game, of him clearly take over as like the running back, passing Nick Chubb, and let Chubb be kind of him be the change of pace. But for sure, Woody Marks, each week, and I think it speaks to Woody Marks, it speaks to some of the other rookies, but then also this, you could tie it back to the offense as a whole, that I think you're seeing Woody get better and more comfortable each week as a rookie, finding his way in the NFL, much like this offense should get better each and every week. And so he's an example of that. But I really like Woody. I had a friend text me even actually last week, who's not a Texans fan and doesn't watch them each week. And he was watching them and he said, man, this Woody Marks is something. I said, I know. I like this guy. So, he had another good performance yesterday.
How about you? We'll just go back and forth here.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I'll stay in that backfield. And for me, it's actually British Brooks I wanted to highlight. He had two first down carries that the first one at least caught me by surprise, kind of came out of nowhere. And so, you know, he's somebody that obviously was he's stepping into a role. And I thought he stepped up yesterday and is another one that's a good change of pace to have in that backfield and the things that he can bring. And then when you give him the football and he gets two first down carries, I was like, all right, here we go. So British Brooks was someone that was nice to see. You know, you talked earlier about the seven different guys getting involved in that opening drive, and he was one of them. And I don't think I had that on my bingo card going into that opening drive. So it was just good to see his involvement, had a couple of nice runs, helping out in the backfield as well. And I think he can play, you know, a pretty important piece in this offense throughout the year.
The little twist that they've added to the offense here in the last couple of weeks have been huge. Blake Fisher, who you can say hooped as a blocking tight end, but, you know, adding Blake Fisher, using that more in their quote jumbo package that they like to use in certain situations, and British Brooks with the little quick handoff, because you're thinking he's going to be the lead blocker.
Right.
All of a sudden, you know, he's gained the first down or scored a touchdown or whatever it may be. Those little twists. And that's the bigger discussion we're going to have, you know, about Nick Caley as the week progresses here, of course, and the day. But, yeah, no, I'm with you on that. Here's another one for me that I think it could be enormous. And we kind of sort of danced around it last week. Dalton Schultz is having a season all of a sudden. He led the team in catches. Clearly, you know, it was early on. I think he had two or three in the first drive, two receptions. But I think he had two on the first drive. You know, we've kind of conditioned ourselves to be somewhat disappointed in what Dalton Schultz, you know, is as an overall tight end for what you're paying him. But I wouldn't feel that way right now. I mean, that could be an enormous thing for this squad.
Yeah, it is. He's been better. Now, eventually, of course, you want to see him get into the end zone. He's yet to do that. You like to see prior to yesterday, you wanted this offense to get in the end zone more often. But yeah, Schultz has looked more comfortable. And that was one of those positions, too, that we talked all offseason of, like, hey, Nick Caley's that tight end guy. Just simply by bringing him in, he's going to bolster that tight end room. And
that's a good point.
And maybe it's been his impact. I don't know. But Dalton Schultz has looked better through the first five games than he did for most of last year. I'll piggyback off of that because on my list, I just jotted down pass catchers yesterday. And again, I know we might be beating this to death, but the idea of those seven different people getting involved on that first drive, but then also, like, Christian Kirk had a big day, which was good to see, and then, you know, Jaden Higgins had the four catches, and Jalen Noll had a couple catches, and X obviously had the two touchdowns, and you just got contributions from everybody. And then I know as the game gets out of hand, it's easier to put some of those guys in, and that's, You know, that's where you see Brendan Bates get a couple of catches. But even Harrison Bryant, I mean, the amount of weapons they used that had an impact offensively was huge for me, because I thought that was a big concern coming into the season, and then part of the problem early in the season where you weren't comfortable enough to use the two rookies yet, evidently, or so it seemed.
Yeah.
And Christian Kirk, you know, started injured and then hadn't quite had that big impact in the first two games he played yet. So yesterday to see Kirk have some big catches, Schultz, like you said, I mean, just everyone got involved and you got to spread the football around, and that was good to see. So that's more of a broad one, but for me, it was just simply the pass catchers. You got a little bit of something from everyone in the passing game.
Yeah, no, and I want to go to the, you know, we can't ignore the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
It's almost as if they're getting short shrift. And they've averaged 5 points giving up the last 2 weeks with Matt Burke calling the defense, and they're starting to create turnovers. It's almost a given now that this defense is going to limit teams and all that. And Jalen Petrie, we just heard probably about an hour ago or thereabouts, we heard from D'Amico Ryans talking about rehashing the game, some of the things he noticed after watching tape. And he said about Petrie, the way he's attacking the football, he said he was outstanding. Many more plays like that to come from him. By the way, he had two interceptions to come from him. Real physical. He said he's having more fun than on the field. And that's how, I mean, just could not say enough about Jalen Petrie. Jalen Petrie in a groove with this team, and the ball finding him is going to be enormous for this squad.
Yeah, absolutely. You get that some of those turnovers that finally came yesterday for the defense. And so think about that this defense was not forcing turnovers, was missing a league-high amount of tackles, and still surrendering the fewest points in the league.
Yeah.
Then you get the turnovers yesterday, and if those continue, especially from Petrie, I mean, man, this defense, as you said, only allowing 5 points on average over the last 2 weeks, the defense will be even better. I'll stick on the defense. I'll say MJ Stewart. He was just fun to watch yesterday. That guy is a missile. He had some big hits, one on the sideline. He had a big tackle where he came up from his safety position and essentially like low bridge Derrick Henry at the line of scrimmage on a run early in the game where it was still hanging in the balance. And that was on a second and long, and it set up a third and long, and you know, you get a punt. But he was just, I love those types of players where he was just flying around. He had a season-high number of tackles, you know, filling in there in the secondary, had a couple of big hits, and that's just the type of player I love on defense that will lower the boom and be playing fast, and he did that. So
and I'm quite sure that D'Amico would tell you, you know, his eyes were right, he was on assignment, you know, because that was one of the big gripes reportedly with C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Right.
You know, just be in the right spot, you know, don't take risks, all that stuff. That's the main thing with him, and lo and behold, they're 2-0. You know, since C.J. Gardner-Johnson has moved on, so to speak. And staying on the defensive side, this is obviously a very good thing, and he definitely hooped. But I am curious, you know, sort of the other aspects of this. E.J. Speed, he's definitely you know, one of those guys that has had, you know, no pun intended, you know, the speed, you know, that this defense needs at that position. But kind of the weird part about it, Christian Harris is healthy and active, which is that just because Speed has been playing so well, or there's something else going on? I don't know.
Yeah, I was a little worried, I guess, for lack of a better term, about that. Like, I know Patrick Creighton made the comparison of Cam Robinson was inactive, then they got rid of him. You know, is there something happening here where they're kind of moving on from him? It seemed surprising to me. D'Amico was asked about it and just said it was like a matchup thing. But yeah, that one seems a little odd to me that he was a healthy scratch yesterday and inactive. We'll see what transpires this week. But that certainly raised my eyebrows. Somebody said, I hope y'all don't overlook the O-line. So I do want to say, because you did mention Blake Fisher in passing, but I think he deserves props for coming in as that you know, extra lineman. And the numbers when he was in, they ran the ball 11 times and average almost 6 yards a carry.
Yeah.
So just to add the context to it, not only the offensive line in total, they only surrendered 6 pressures, but Blake Fisher's involvement, because, you know, Blake has taken a beating and rightfully so at times for his performance, but that was a nice change of pace or a nice addition yesterday, and he played well and really helped that run game when he was on the field.
And don't undersell 6 times, 6 pressures. That's it.
Yeah,
the entire game, C.J. Stroud, and we saw what he can do when he has the time. He can survey the field, hits all his targets, gets the ball to the right place.
Also, just to take it away from the actual football field, I'm going to say J.J. Watt. I know there were some texts that came in.
Yeah,
I think J.J. You know, I think Romo is awful and unlistenable. I think Drew Brees was terrible, and that's why he was out after a year. Jason Witten was terrible. He was gone after a year. Tom Brady's decent, but I think J.J. Watt deserves a lot of credit for a lot of times these players step into the booth, and they're not very good. And J.J. Watt, he's probably the best right now of these new former players that stepped into the booth.
Yeah, and for sure he was objective. You know, we know he has a certain affinity for the Texans, but it just seemed like he was balanced. He did a great job.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was the first time I listened to him through an entire game. I was like, hey, you know what? He's pretty good at this.
Yeah.
So props to JJ as well. He hooped off the field yesterday. Hey, that's who hooped as the Texans get that huge win. Coming up, we'll talk about winners and losers of the weekend. But right now, we have a U of H giveaway. Caller number 7 wins 4 tickets to the Cougars game against Arizona on October 18th. Tickets are courtesy of the University of Houston. Caller number 7 wins 4 tickets to that game coming up in less than 2 weeks. Call in, win those tickets, go check out the Cougars. We'll get to winners and losers of the weekend when we come back. It's In the Loop.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.